Did you guys have a great week? That's good. That's good. I had an interesting week, and so I'm grateful to be here this morning. And, you know, when you teach something, you definitely test it and put to the test. I can be honest here. My challenge was, I'm teaching about prayer, so getting the energy to get up and pray. Sometimes, do you guys ever feel like you just don't want to pray? You know you need to pray, but you just, it's like a fight. And so that was one of my challenges this week, and it was interesting. But we're going to open up this morning with prayer, and we're going to ask Mr. Jeff. Austin, could you open us up in prayer? Thank you. Amen. Amen. I like that, the desire to pray, the desire, that wanting to, knowing the importance of it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to open up first. I just found out I'll be here this Sunday, this teaching this Sunday, as well as the next two Sundays. So Brother John has asked me to close out the month. So it was some other things that I had written. And so as I was in prayer, it was a certain scripture was brought to mind. But before we go there, I want to ask someone to give so far what their takeaway is for this class. What have they learned in this class? There's no wrong answers. Just saying. It's all right. Go ahead, Lynn. Thank you. Keep it simple. Yes. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. Really good. Right, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we get lost for words. Yes. Back to the basics. That's basically it. Anyone else? Yes.
Mm-hmm. There might be a beginning and an ending of that conversation.
right. That's right.
You're in the presence, so your prayer, you may stop that conversation. You may go start making the bed or whatever, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you can't pray while you're doing that.
That's right. That is so true. I like that. Anyone else? Like that. She said, knowledge becomes wisdom when it's walked out, when we walk it out. Yes. It is.
Speaking his word brings encouragement and strength to me, and it also reminds me of who I am in him, because the authority that you have spoken about, because of who we are in him.
In him.
Being able to declare his word, that's his voice.
That's his voice. And declaring, I like the thing you said, closet, and it made me think about we're the carriers of his glory. And we have his kingdom inside of us. And so wherever he go, his presence is there because we carry his presence. And so like you said, I do have a room, and I have a closet in that room, and I go and I shut the door. But at times, like you said, I'm in my car, bathroom, just wherever. And I like what Lee said. He also stated that, what was that, about his presence. It's been times I have left out of prayer, and I realized that prayer conversation hasn't ended. However, I go on and I say, Lord, I'm leaving this time of prayer, but let your presence not leave me. Allow me to continue to go on. And the conversation literally goes on throughout the course of the day. And one, as I was in a prayer this morning studying, he wanted me to remind you guys that when you go in that car or that closet or wherever you are, he said, remind them that they will not always get the answer in that closet. You will walk throughout the course of the day. You can be doing dishes and it'll hit you. Or you can be cutting the grass or doing something different. And it'll be like, oh, okay. Oh, that's the answer. And you literally be done left that moment. And your mind is somewhere else, and you're doing something else, you're at work, and it'll hit you, oh, that's the answer. So he said, remind you that you're not going to always get it as you're sitting in the closet. And that's what I like about what Lee said about his presence. That's what I like about you talking about that prayer closet being other places. And so don't always think when you go in there, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to be steadfast, and I'm going to get that answer. Because I've noticed sometimes God like to catch us off guard. You know, we feel like we have this perfect standing, and we have everything perfected, and we go in, and we go by this syllabus, and we go by that syllabus. And I told you, I'm an A-type personality at times, so I'm working on that. But he's teaching me, you have to go with my flow. You have to wait on my timing. And I'm like, okay, I guess this will work. I'm learning this, and I'm learning a lot about myself. And so our scripture this morning is Jeremiah 33:3. God is so awesome and amazing. Because I had something else this morning, and as I was in prayer, he said, no, let's talk about Jeremiah 33:3. Because there's some individuals waiting on some promises, and it's some things that we have put before God, and it seems impossible. But he said, I'm restoring. And so, but if you ever read Jeremiah 33:3, it talks about restoration. And the irony of this scripture is, as he was giving this promise to Jeremiah, Jeremiah was sitting in jail. He was sitting in prison. And this was his second prison journey, and he was sitting there. And the Lord was reminding him, I haven't forgot my promise, but some things must take place. And as I was reading it this morning, it was really amazing how when we sometimes at our worst place, or we seem like things are not working out, and sometimes things seem like things couldn't get worse, he'll just show up. He's always there. But then he really loved these private conversations. Jeremiah was in prison for actually teaching and spreading the word of God and giving prophecies according to God's commandment. But yet he was in prison. Let's see here. Jeremiah 33:3, and I will be reading it out of the Message, because I like the mess with the Message said. In part of 2, this is God's message, the God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God. This is what he tells Jeremiah. He says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Jeremiah was in jail. And it was some things going on with Jerusalem, some things had taken place in Israel. And they were at war, and the Chaldeans were coming up against them. And the Lord started talking to Jeremiah. And he was letting Jeremiah know, now, the children of Israel in Jerusalem, they have committed some sins. And they must give account of these sins. However, I'm going to restore them. And it looked pretty bleak, because here it is, they don't throw Jeremiah in jail again because of the prophecies that the Lord had him given unto them. It looked bleak. But he says, if you call unto me, Jeremiah, I will let you know what you need to know. And this is what I heard the Spirit speak this morning. He said, tell them to call unto me and I will give them the answers. I will give them what they need to know. He will give us what we need to know. And a lot of times we try to figure out things, we try to get ahead of God, because we feel like, well, this will work over here, and this seemed like it'll fit in over here. And I'm pretty sure Jeremiah had a preconceived mindset of how things were going to turn out, because remember, Israel had a history. That's the key word. They had a history of going, running to God, backsliding. Running to God, backsliding. Constantly falling into traps, constantly falling into sin, constantly worshiping idols and the gods of the individuals around them. Now, I'm not saying this is us. This is my disclaimer. I don't want you to take away what she said. We don't fell into sin and we worshiping idols. No, I'm not saying that. I'm using this as an example. This is the history. So Jeremiah knew that history repeats itself. Think about it. History repeats itself, no matter how much we try to change it, because unless there's a renewal of the mind, we're going to find ourselves going back around that same mountain. So he was telling Jeremiah, they continue to do this. I have to deal with the sin. However, and Jeremiah was trying to figure this out. We've done this before. They've fallen. But God said, come, let us talk. Let me explain to you what's going to take place. And so God sat down with Jeremiah, and he explained everything that was to come. Now he said, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things. He told him to call unto him. Have you ever been in a situation and it seemed hopeless? Have you ever been into a point you just didn't have the answers? I mean, you literally did not have the answers. And we try to fathom with our mind, And you find yourself getting exhausted because we're overthinking, overprocessing, trying to resolve it. And you asking yourself, why? This is not making sense. And this is what Jeremiah was. This is where he was at. I mean, can you imagine? He's standing out there and he prophesizing. He telling the people of God, this is what thus says the Lord. And they're looking at him and say, you know what? We don't want to hear that. We're going to throw you in jail. We're going to put you in prison. Have you ever tried to give advice to someone and you knew it was godly advice and you knew it was a word from the Lord and just wisdom and they rejected it? And then later on down the road, you see them suffering in the consequences of their decisions. This is where Jeremiah was. He was sitting there watching Israel fall apart. Literally watching them fall apart. Well, what does this have to do with us? Everything. He told him, he said, I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things. We have questions right now, some big, some small, and the Lord is wanting us to come to him and just inquire about it. Just inquire about it. It might seem, well, Lord, this is insignificant because this person is dealing with this and this person, and another person's problem seems so huge, and yours might seem minute, but he cares. He cares. You know if he know the number of hairs on our head. He cares. That's how much he cares. That seem insignificant, but he cares. So he tell Jeremiah, he said, come unto me, and I'm going to read what this says in the message. Because remember, he's at a place where he seems hopeless. This is what God, the God of Israel, I'm starting at verse 4. This is what the God of Israel has to say about what's going on in this city. About the homes of both people and kings that have been demolished. About all the ravages of war and the killing by the Chaldeans. And about the streets littered with dead bodies of those killed because of my raging anger. God said he was upset. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. God said he was upset. For some odd reason, as I was sitting there meditating on this word and studying this word, it was almost as if it was prophetic for what's going on in the world today. And he was like, this is going further. Because of the things that's taking place in the world, he's saying, I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm dealing with it. But if you call unto me, if we call unto God to get the answers as we go through what's going to take place in the earth, he will guide us through it. Because he told him, he said, my raging anger. How many of us in here have questions about what's taking place in the earth? I had to stand on one leg. I'm curious. And I have questions. And it's not making sense. But the Lord says, I'm going to deal with it. He said, I have anger. Imagine that. God has anger. Raging anger. Because of the sin and the decisions that the children of Israel had decided to make to not follow God, not be obedient. So some of us are like Jeremiah, and some of us are like the children of Israel. Let's be real. Jeremiah was doing what God instructed him to do. He was in right position with God. But yet, he had to suffer along with them. And crazy as it may seem, by him being locked up in prison, he was in a safe place. He was in a safe place. So he says he's going to deal with it because of his rage and anger. He says, about all that happened because the evil actions in this city have turned my stomach in disgust. Think about what's taking place in the world. Think about the things, you know, you sit there and you look at TV and you're just like, have these people lost all their minds? And then you hear about stuff in the community, in the county. I heard something the other day, and I didn't realize it was on the news because sometimes I shut it down, about a woman, someone had OD'd in her apartment, and she covered him up with clothes and left him there. This was in Rutherford County. And I'm thinking, what in the world? This is the state of some of the people's minds. And I'm pretty sure those that work in mental health can tell you some of the stuff they deal with. They probably have to go home and detox for 2 hours, some of the stuff that they see and hear, and shut it down. But he said it's disgusting. It upsets his stomach. Then he says in verse 6 through 9, he said, but now take another look. I'm going to give this city a thorough renovation, working a true healing inside and out. I'm going to show them life whole, life brimming with blessings. I'll restore everything that was lost to Judah and Jerusalem. I'll build everything back as good as new. I'll scrub them clean from the dirt they've done against me. I'll forgive everything they've done wrong, forgive all their rebellions, and Jerusalem will be a center of joy and praise and glory for all the countries on the earth. They'll get reports on all good I'm doing for her. They'll be in awe of the blessings I am pouring out on her. So what he's saying is, I have to deal with this. Father's Vineyard, Rutherford, North Carolina. North Carolina, United States, the world. God is saying, I'm going to have to deal with the sin in this world. I'm dealing with it. So how do we deal with it? We have to do as he's told Jeremiah. Come unto me. Ask. We have to do. His instructions was this. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. This is our assignment. This is our assignment. We can't sit around and talk about it. Well, you know, I think it's such and such and such. And you know, I think it's such and such and such. Now, granted, we know the word. And if the word tells us everything that's coming forth. However, there's things we do not know. And he said he would give us the hidden things according to Psalms 2:8. He would show us the hidden things, the things we cannot comprehend, the things that's not making sense. So he said, if you call on me. I'll give you the answers. I will show you what you need to know. July the 18th, I used to go up to Ridgecrest. I like to go and do my retreats. And July the 18th, no, July the 17th, I got in my car and I went up and I did my 3 to 4 day retreat. I go and stay the night. If anyone has been to Ridgecrest, they know there's no televisions in the room, and you just go and sit. It's beautiful setting. You can sit on the side of the mountain and watch the eagles, and it's very peaceful. So I was back into the mountain. And as I went up the mountain, I spent time with the Lord in the mountain. And on July the 18th, I had a journal. I keep journals. I love journals. And so as I was sitting and spending time with the Lord, he had me to write something that was going to take place. And as I was writing it, it was in regards to my family. As I was writing it, I paused and I said, huh? This is, and I questioned, because what he was showing me, I questioned it. But I kept writing, being led by the Spirit. And I just kept writing. Keep in mind, it was July the 18th. He explained some events that was going to take place. He was explaining to me why he was having me to do what I was going to do 2 weeks later. September the 18th, what I had written in my journal came to pass. It came to pass. I called unto him. I went to the mountain. I got in my quiet place. And he told me what was to come, just like Jeremiah experienced it. It's very important we get back to that place where we start sitting in that quiet time and writing down what the Lord is showing us. And my daughters, I was in shock because Pastor Terry and different ones say, son, you need to really start journaling, especially your dreams that you have. Ever since I've been coming here, that was one of the things that him and Miss Brenda told me. And as I was journaling, and I told my daughters, I said, you're not going to believe this. It was like, what, Mama? I went back and I got the journal. It's a different journal. And I opened it up to July the 18th. And everything that the Lord had told me in that quiet time on the side of that mountain, it had come to pass. Everything. And sometimes we question whether or not we hear God. Remember, the first thing you learn when you go into your closet is what? What's the first thing you learn? Yeah. Listen. I think it was the voice of God. Learn to hear the voice of God. That's the first thing that takes place. Because I learned to hear the voice of God, and I learned to hear his voice. Yeah, we hear God's voice. I had to learn how to trust his voice. How many of in here trust the voice of God? How many of us in here can recognize the voice of God? How many of us in here have questioned some of the things that God has spoken unto us? Just saying. We're in a season where he's teaching us, and we're going to have to trust him with all our heart, mind, and soul. Everything he is telling us. Because, see, Jeremiah was sitting in that prison. He had been there. This is his second time. And the Lord was speaking unto him. And the things that he was saying unto him seemed impossible. Have he spoken things unto you? Yes, Lee. I agree. Did everyone hear that? He said it's always okay to question, but it's not okay to challenge. That's good. Yeah.
And so, like Jesus said to the disciples, I'm telling you these things so when they happen, you're not freaking out. So you dig in and find reliable teachers and get in there and you won't panic. And then also, one more thing, I just wanted to say, because I go deep in what's really going on, I know it affects me. I'm healthy enough within myself to do this.
Counteract.
It more than you know, even though it's strong is the people. So it's because I don't have little kids where I watch all this major, colorful, wonderful, happy. I don't have that. Sensory overload. Yeah. I was over at their house, I stopped in to see them, and it's like I'm going, wow.
And so it's just like Taco Bell.
Oh my God.
Just remember, there's ways to counter without, I don't know, being in denial.
It's okay. Do you guys understand? Okay, what it is, she's saying we have to counter all the negativity that's coming towards us. It must be counteracted with something positive. We counteract the negativity with the word of God. If we go back to Jeremiah, I want you to listen what was taking place. Jeremiah knew the Lord basically said, I'm going to punish these people. I'm going to judge these people because of their sins. But then he turns around, and this is what I love about God, because he will give us, I love you, but these are your consequences. That's him. But then he say, however, my child, because I love you, this is what he says. I'm going to give this city a thorough renovation, working a true healing inside and out, and I'm going to show them life whole, life brimming with blessings. I'll restore everything that was lost to Judah and Jerusalem. I'll build everything back as good as new. You continue to read it further on for yourself. But what he was saying is, this is what's happening. But I'm going to restore. I'm going to rebuild. And if you go over in the New Testament, it speaks about how Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered. There comes a point that the things around us, there comes a point the things around us will cause us to go to our knees, go into our closet. Because Jeremiah didn't understand. And so what the Lord was telling him, the only way we're going to understand if we call unto him. Call unto him and start journaling. See, Jeremiah was able to go back and he was able to see some of the things that would take place. He was able to see some of it, but not to the fullest, because when you go through the Old Testament, it always points us to Jesus Christ. And so
why does he keep loving these people?
Yeah.
Why would he forgive them? And then and then when we get to Jesus, it's like all of his disgust and hate for sin and all the deserved punishment that we all are supposed to be given, it falls on his
It falls on him.
I could never have come up with that plan. Who would have ever thought of that?
That's that great and marvelous thing. That's the great and marvelous thing, because if when you read it, it leads on into basically, if you study it, it's going to take place with Israel, and we'll see some of the manifestation as history proceed. However, the greatest manifestation of it is when Christ, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. That's the greatest manifestation. But what do I do about now? that's what some people are saying. What do I do about now? What about now? What would some of you guys suggest to recommend we do about now? I need some input here. But what about the individuals don't realize that we need to act it out? What about the ones that's bitter?
I think that if we allow ourselves to grieve during this time, you're not just grieving with the saved, you're grieving with the lost. But I'm like, we can't ignore
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Hope. Hope. And see, that's what God, and that's so true, and that's what we have to give them the answer. Like Mary said, we have to, as Christians, we have to wake up with the intent of acknowledging, with the intent of saying God is in control. So I'm going to walk and look at things from his perspective. His perspective. My house is on fire, but his perspective, God, I thank you that everyone got out safe. That's his perspective. But a lot of times we look at, my house is on fire, I've lost everything, but wait a minute, everyone got out safe, even the cat and the dog. And this is the way we're having to walk throughout this life and stay in his word and implement his word in our lives. And like you said, sometime we have been taught that prayer is a ritual. And I told you how I had become so religious with my prayer. 5:30, up, I'm praying, interceding. 6:30, I walk through the house. Guys, it's time to get up. Make sure you read your scripture and say your prayers. My children could quote me verbatim. I mean, they could quote it. See, 6:35, mama coming through the house. It's not like that. It's those everyday moments. Like Lee was saying, we just have those moments where we walk through and we just communicate with God. And we don't get the answer in the closet. We get the answer as we're doing the dishes or standing in the classroom teaching or wherever he decides to drop it in you. And what I love about God, he drop it in us in the most unexpected moments. Because could it possibly be that our mind is going to go north or go left or right? And so what he'll do is we over here, and, you know, we're pondering and we're worrying about that thing. And he'll throw it out there, and we'll catch it, and we'll have to freeze. Just to see if he has our attention. Yeah. Because sometimes my mind goes south. And he'll have to throw that question I was asking him, the answer to that question, he'll throw it out there. And I catch it. And it reels me back in from wondering and dealing with the strongholds. Because what takes place with all the negativity that's going on around us, and if we're not calling to ask him and get these wondrous things that he's trying to teach us, it will create strongholds in our souls, in our minds. It creates fear. You know, it's something to be standing. I went to White Oak Mountain Thursday. I love to go to the mountain and just sit. It's something about the mountains. And my daughter and I, we were sitting up there, and she done laid down on a rock, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let you chill. But it was something to behold, to stand on White Oak Mountain in Polk County, North Carolina, and see smoke coming all the way from Canada. That's something, isn't it? Why? And you ask this, you question, why? This part of the country is on fire. We have people over here killing each other. We have flooding over here. We have a government that's gone berserk. Why? But he said, call unto me. He told Jeremiah, just ask me, and I give you the simple answers. And a lot of times we look for these grandiose answers, and they're simple. They're simple. And the thing that tickles me, I get so much peace from the simple answers. Just simple. It's like, oh, okay. Just like a child. But we want all the answers. We want the big answers. We love to hear ourselves talk. We love to feel like we have, you know, we like to, I can resolve this issue. I have power. I am hopeless without God. I'm a wreck and a mess without God. I am. And I figured it out at 52, I don't have to have all the answers. And as parents, we feel like, we get this from being parents, you know. Because our children come to us and they want us to give all the answers. And it becomes a habit. It just flows over into every aspect of our lives. We don't have to have all the answers. This is why he's telling Jeremiah, hey, Jeremiah, come here. Let's reason together. Let's talk about this. And I'll give you the answers you need. And you don't have to sit and worry about them. Yes, Miss Lynn.
I just want to reiterate what Pastor Terry teaches, and I've loved it ever since I heard it. He said, God is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
God is in charge. The devil's been given.
Yeah.
The prince of the power of the air, the Bible says it.
Mm-hmm.
He is also the small g of this world. So
yeah.
When you're working, dealing, or talking with people, they already blame God for everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they understand, you know.
But who's willing to stand up? Who is literally willing to stand up and say, this is what the word of the Lord is saying to our families, to our neighbors, to our communities? What do you say to a person that's been in church their whole entire life and they have all the answers and they're walking in the spirit of religion? Let's get real. Who's willing to stand up and say, yes, this is what's taking place, but this is what the word of the Lord says. I love going to ICIT with Mark Churchill. I love it because he breaks it down and the Lord allows him to just break it down in his teaching. And you can be the most pessimistic person and Mark will look at you and he'll say, but God say it in his word. And that's the way we should be. Call unto him that we may have answers. You see, he had Jeremiah, and I'm closing out. He had Jeremiah to call unto him to get the answers so Jeremiah would have peace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. And with that being said, she said, when we magnify the Lord, paraphrasing, the issue seems smaller. And when we look at this passage of scripture after he had told Jeremiah to call unto him and he had given him the answers, Jeremiah could magnify the Lord. And that situation that Israel was ready to face would seem minute in the sight of what God could do. And the promises that God was given unto us. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto him, and he will show you great and mighty wonderful works. Call unto him in the midst of everything that's going on. Call unto him. Are there any comments or questions before we close out? Have 1 minute and 30 seconds. All right, I will see you guys here next Sunday, if the creek don't rise, and Lord willing. You know, we're in the South. Yes. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship in thy Son, Jesus' holy name. We pray, Father God, that the takeaways we'll be able to take and feast upon these, Lord. And as the pastor come forth to proclaim your word, that, Father God, be added upon. And that we will be able to walk these things out and let them rest and settle in our hearts and our minds and our souls. Father God, we just say thank you for what you're doing here at Father's Vineyard, not only here, but throughout the county, throughout the nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.